So as Ken said, we want to, there's a lot of new people here, and people need to know why they come into through these doors. So that's why we want to introduce you to what we have, what we are, and what we stand for. So this handbook, and it gets updated regularly. I still have the older one, 22, so there is now an August 23 one. And as things change in this world, we have to also change sometimes how we say the same thing. So it's important that we know that everything that you will read about, what we are about, there are some handbooks there at the back. Grab something. There's also on the PDF on the website, so you can always download that. So today we start with the Bible. That's the basis of what we believe in and what we teach on here in the Gospel Chapel. And if you don't know something, you can't love it. So that's how you have to have knowledge about what it is all about. So somebody had that previously, the Bible acronym, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So I think that's very true in itself. So just a few fun facts then to introduce you to what we are teaching or what the Bible is about, because it is the best-selling book in the world over the past 50 years. More than 3.9 billion copies have been made. Something I didn't know was it's the most stolen book as well. And I can understand that. Nowadays, you don't see it so much in the hotels anymore. I think that has been taken out, but I'm pretty sure it's a good thing to be stolen. It is the oldest Bible, dates to the 4th century. There's more than 600,000 words in it, and some translations are a little bit bigger and more encompassing. So your King James have got a little bit more words. Many chapters there, as you can see. So it takes a while to read through the Bible, and sometimes there are actually plans to say read the Bible through in 1 year. So it is a good thing to do. So the texts have been written over 1,500 years. So that is quite a feat for one book to be done that way, and shows that if it makes sense and if there's a thread of truth through it, it is beyond humans to do that. It's been written in three languages. The Old Testament was mostly Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek, and I think that Jesus mostly talked Aramaic. It was written in three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. But there were also 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They call it the silent years. And I think that is something that we know, the time frame where there was not so much guidance because of what happened in the world. So, fun facts continue. Shortest chapter, Psalm 117, and the longest one, Psalm 119. The shortest verse is John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. So the Bible has been translated in full in more than 704 languages. Parts of it has been translated in more languages than that. It is a very difficult thing to translate, and we'll see a little bit later about that. Even in English, there are 300 different English translations, and there are different books. The Bibles are not always the same. The Protestant Bible has got 66 books. Catholic Bible, 73 books, and Orthodox Church, 79 to 86. And that is because there are differences in classification of religious writings. Canonical books, that's the ones that we have in our Protestant Bible scripture. It's confirmed and it's authoritative. Apocryphal books, they are true and reliable, but they're not really connected to prophets or apostles, and they can be read. They are around there, and a few of them are the Maccabees and Enoch. There are a few of them, so it's not really accepted as the true scripture, but it is writings that has been used. So, as you know, the Bible consists of different things, and it can be sometimes think this part is boring and that part is nice and this part makes sense and that part doesn't make sense. It is because there are different kind of writings, way of writing. So narrative, nearly half of it is narrative, which is history, stories, parables, biographies. Then poetry, about 33% of that. That's mostly songs and you know, Ecclesiastes, words of wisdom. And then prose would be logical. I think a lot of that would be like Paul would write, those things that really convince you of certain things and have arguments and tell you about the truth. Now, the Old Testament, there, the Jews, they used the Tanakh, and it is made up of three elements, the Torah, which is the law, and that was five books, and that's the foundation story. The Nevim, forgive my Hebrew, I don't know if that is true, but it's the prophets, it's what they wrote, the historical and the poetic ones. And then Ketuvim, which is writings, a diverse collection of poetry, wisdom, and narrative. So that is why the Old Testament looks so different. There's different ways of elements there. The New Testament is mostly the gospel, the apostles writing it. So we all know that there are ways to try and make the Bible more palatable to people, and because it might seem too dry or it might seem too misunderstanding. So there are paraphrased Bibles, but they are not real translations. They just simply tell the story of the Bible. That's, for example, the Message, the Living Bible. So that is not, it's kind of a vaguer introduction of the story of the Bible. Now, we know there are many, many Bibles there, and which one is the right Bible, or which one is the most accurate, where there's no real inerrant translation. And that's why it's not a bad idea. It's a good idea to have different translations to read that, because you can sometimes have a little bit more insight from this one and from that one. If you really just stick to one, you might just kind of find yourself going through a rabbit hole. So why are there so many? Well, because Biblical Hebrew and English, as we were just talking about English, is so different languages. The Biblical Hebrew is a language that emphasizes function of something, what something does or is designed to do, and is very concrete. While if you have to take those writings and translate it to an English translation, it can be difficult because English is a language that emphasizes form, what something looks like, and can be very abstract. So that is why there are so many differences in translations, because you try to get two languages meshed together. So I circled a few. I got this. That was interesting for me to see where the Bibles are that I read. And I see you have the spectrum from word for word, and then thought for thought, and then the paraphrase. So you can see there, the Amplified, which I love, and the ESV and RSV and New King James are more word for word, and then the International, New International, thought for thought, and a few others there, and then the paraphrase is the Message right on the side there. So you can see that there can be kind of why there are so many differences there. So what do we as a church here believe about the Bible? Well, we believe it is God-given. 2 Timothy 3 says, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. And that is why we know that if we stay with the word, we will not go into false teachings, because that is what's going to keep us from that. And you have to be in a church that does use the Bible as the basis. Otherwise, you know, people have different views and they start running their own interpretation, and you always have to come back to the Bible. And if you receive a message here or somewhere else, always, you know, test it with what the word says. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 to 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's where we believe that the Holy Spirit has inspired the people to write this. So, the Word of God is scientifically accurate. We've seen it's been proven many times in science and all the archaeology that have been shown, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Science has proven that the Word is accurate. It's historically accurate, it's archaeologically proven, and prophetically accurate. More than 2,000 prophecies have been fulfilled. Now, alone on for the messianic prophecies that Christ have fulfilled 8 prophecies, and they say that the chance of that happening, and Josh McDowell in his book has kind of tried to make it in a little bit of statistical significance so that you know how by chance this is, if you don't think this is true, that Christ has fulfilled 8 of them. That the chance of that happening just as per coincidence is 1 in 15 zeros. Now they say if you put that in, doesn't make sense how much that is, but they said that if you fill the state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep and you color one of them orange and you say to a blind man or you blindfold a man and you say to him, pick that orange dollar, that's the chance that it was by coincidence. So it's totally impossible. So it is important to know that it's not by chance. So there has been a fair bit of similarities between Jesus and the Bible. We know that Jesus has been called the living word, and we know that the Bible is the written word. Jesus was fully human and fully divine, and scriptures written by man through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Savior without sin, and scriptures without error. Jesus came to save us, and scriptures has been given to tell us how to be saved. And Jesus is the personification, the fulfillment of scriptures. And that is what the Old Testament and the Jews especially, there's so many prophecies and told about Jesus coming. And that's why it's so hard for them that if they don't read the New Testament, they cannot understand that he was the Messiah. And he's the Messiah. So John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Bible has been explained or likened to a few concrete examples so that we can know how the Bible is perceived and how we can use it. We sang about a lamp to our feet in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's also called bread for the soul, Matthew 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is a hammer that shatters the rock and fire that consumes. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? It's also likened to water for washing, Ephesians 5:26, so that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Psalm 19, verse 9 and 10 says, the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's also a seed planted in the heart. The sower parable in Luke 8, verse 11, Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And then a favorite of mine, Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's also a mirror for seeing and correcting. James 1, 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And that is one of the things that a lot of times people say, oh, there's so much judgment and so much bad things in the Bible that I just don't want to read it, or just reading the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. And as you see, you can't really read the two separately. They're intertwined. And that is why it's important for us to know that through the Bible we see how far we lack, but also in the Bible we see the solution for that and the salvation that is there. So it is very important to know that both of that is there. You have to know. We've talked about that in the Bible hour as well. We have to know how sinful we are. Even we're supposed to be good people. It is not in our deeds, and we are like dirty rags in the eye of the Holy Lord. So we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover us so that we can approach him. And that is why it's so important to be able to know that you cannot be prideful at anything, no matter what good you do or how many times you sit in the church. It's nothing that you can do that can bring you closer to God. It's also nourishing milk and meat for the soul. We talked a little bit about how we need, Ken talked about how we need to kind of grow up, grow into the word, because you cannot stay a baby. Babies are nice when they're there, but if they're 20 years old and they still lie there next to you, it's not a very good thing. So we need to grow up. Hebrews 5 verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And that is why we have so many volunteers, people that really get involved. There are so many things that in this church where you can get involved in. And that is part of growing up, part of being more able to take solid food. It is how the Holy Spirit works with you and teaches each and every one of us to be really effective, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And that's very important. And all of us have got different gifts. God gave each and every one a different way to be able to minister. Some people just prayer warriors. Others are really helping in more concrete ways, but it's all the same value. You don't have to be doing something that for other people to see. So, there are 9 reasons to read the Bible. There's actually a lot more, but I just thought I'll probably just can stick to 9. So, why would we read the Bible? Why is that important to read it and not just let it sit on the shelf and gather dust? And, I go to church on Sundays, there I'll get my part for my nourishment. No, we have to daily be in the Word. That is so important because it shows us God's character. You need to know the God that you and me are worshiping. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. It teaches us to imitate God. Ephesians 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. It keeps us from sin. And Psalm 119:105 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And John 17, verse 17, it's our final authority. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And especially in this day and age where truth is relevant, a relative, we know that there are very little anchors in this world that you can go by, because everybody puts his own truth out there. It explains the gospel, which is so important. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it tells us, Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. And what happens, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it is a mirror seeing that, but it's also giving us the explanation of what we can get out of it. It will bless us. Joshua 1, verse 8 says, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. That's a promise. That's a promise to hold on to. And that is wonderful to know that the Bible does have more than just your personal growth, but it will actually do something for you, as even in your work and in your job and everything that you do. If you feel anxious, go to Psalm 119. It says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. And that is wonderful, that we can go to the Word. We know it's there, it's concrete, it is something that never changes, and it will give us that peace. It also helps us to set things right when life is out of control. Psalm 19, 7 and 8 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. And it leads us to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's why it's so important that we do give the word and give that message of hope to people outside. And we will, in this next few months, get back to evangelism explosion and a little bit of a different way, but to equip each and every one of us how we can present the gospel, because that's very important. We have to tell people about the good news and warn them of the impending doom if they don't choose Jesus. So, and the word is the way that we can read that, and we know that is where we get the salvation through Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 18 says, for only, I tell you, until the sky and the earth passes away and perish, not one smallest letter or any hook, and that's because the Hebrew letters are kind of have hooks there, will pass from the law until all things it foreshadows are accomplished. We know that is important to know, that nothing from this word will be taken away, and the end will be there. And we are all going to face death. That's just a given. It's part of life. But we know that our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus, and then when we really take him as our personal Savior, that we will be able to see him again, and we will experience eternal life. And that's why in the mornings we have the emblems, the breaking of bread. It's something that really signifies that expectation that we have to take the emblems of the cup and the bread, to do that with him and to be with him at the dinner and the banquet in heaven. So, Lord, we thank you that we have your word that will lead us, that's a lamp to our feet. Lord, we know that it is something that we don't always use enough. And forgive us that we haven't been in your word, because that teaches us from you and of you and how you are and what you want for us. We thank you that you've given it to us, understandable in our own language. And we pray that this is something that we will continue to really use and immerse ourselves in. Because when we get into the Word, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And that is how you speak to us nowadays, Lord, through your Word. We thank you that we have this. And we pray that we as a church and as a church family will always hold this dear. And this would be the basis upon which we will worship you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.